This is the book of Acts. It is in chapter 24. It's the first 27 verses. Five days later, the high priest Ananias went to Caesarea with some elders and a lawyer named Tertullus. They appeared before Governor Felix and made their charges against Paul. Then Paul was called in, and Tertullus began to make his accusations as follows. Your Excellency, your wise leadership has brought us a long period of peace, and many necessary reforms are being made for the good of our country. We welcome this everywhere and at all times, and we are deeply grateful to you. I do not want to take up too much of your time, however, so I beg you to be kind and listen to our brief account. We found this man to be a dangerous nuisance. He starts riots among Jews all over the world and is a leader of the party of the Nazarenes. He also tried to defile the temple, and we arrested him. If you question this man, you yourself will be able to learn from him all the things that we are accusing him of. The Jews joined in the accusation and said that all this was true. The governor then motioned to Paul to speak, and Paul said, I know that you have been a judge over this nation for many years, and so I am happy to defend myself before you. As you can find out for yourself, it was no more than 12 days ago that I went to Jerusalem to worship. The Jews did not find me arguing with anyone in the temple, nor did they find me stirring up the people, either in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city. Nor can they give you proof of the accusations they now bring against me. I do admit this to you. I worship the God of our ancestors by following that way which they say is false. But I also believe in everything written in the law of Moses and the books of the prophets. I have the same hope in God that these themselves have, namely that all people, both the good and the bad, will rise from death. And so I do my best always to have a clear conscience before God and people. After being away from Jerusalem for several years, I went there to take some money to my own people and to offer sacrifices. It was while I was doing this that they found me in the temple after I had completed the ceremony of purification. There was no crowd with me and no disorder. But some Jews from the province of Asia were there. They themselves ought to come before you and make their accusations if they have anything against me. Or let these who are here tell what crime they found me guilty of when I stood before the council. Except for the one thing I called out when I stood before them, I am being tried by you today for believing that the dead will rise to life. Then Felix, who was well informed about the way, brought the hearing to a close. When the commander Lysias arrives, he told them, I will decide your case. He ordered the officer in charge of Paul to keep him under guard, but to give him some freedom and allow his friends to provide for his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he talked about faith in Christ Jesus. But as Paul went on discussing about goodness, self-control, and the coming day of judgment, Felix was afraid and said, "You may leave now. I will call you again when I get the chance." At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would give him some money, and for this reason he would call for him often and talk with him. After 2 years had passed, Festus succeeded Felix as governor. Felix wanted to gain favor with the Jews, so he left Paul in prison. These are the words of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. This is a pretty long story. Paul is being falsely accused, and he has to go before Governor Felix now. Felix really wants to get to know Paul and what he has to say, but he also is trying to squeeze Paul for money. And all that Paul has to go with, quite honestly, are the facts. Just the facts. Only the facts. But that's what he has, and it will be enough. There were two men that were living in a small village, and they got into a pretty good argument, and they couldn't get things decided between them, and so they figured what they should do is they would each go individually to the wisest man in town, and they would give him their side of the case and let the wise man decide. So the first man went, and he told his whole story. And when he was all finished with what he had to say, the wise man looked at him and he said, "You're absolutely right." The very next day, the second fellow went to that same wise man of the village and told his story. And when he had finished, the wise man looked at him and he said, "You're absolutely right." And after that man had left, the wise man's wife came out and she said, "You can't do that. You've heard both sides of this story. They're different. They can't both be right." And the very wise man smiled at his wife and said, "You're absolutely right." You see, sometimes as people, as individuals, as unique, wonderfully made people, we can see the same thing as somebody else and describe it and talk about it and know about it in a different way than somebody else. And we think we're absolutely right. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I didn't think that God is absolutely right. Paul teaches us a lot today about defending our faith. Remember, we're asked to defend our faith at all times, aren't we? The term for that is it's called apologetics. And it's got nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with apologizing for the Christian faith. It has everything to do with being able to stand up for your faith, and with the facts, with information, being able to defend the fact that God is truth. Apologetics in the dictionary is described this way: the discipline of defending a religious position through the systematic use of information. You might have heard of Lee Strobel before, or C.S. Lewis, or Ravi Zacharias. All of them are wonderful apologists. They give a great information and wisdom for you and I as we learn more about what it means to follow Jesus the Christ. And yet we live in our time in an amazing world. And we all want the facts. We've seen way too much CSI on TV. Whenever there's a discussion about this or that, somebody needs to be correct and somebody not, and there has to be evidence and so on and so forth. We want to see the video. We want to know in our day if the person has text messages about it, if they have emails about it, and is there an eyewitness? Oh, my friends, when it comes to faith, when it comes to understanding the truth about God, that's not going to get you very far. We believe by faith. We believe because God, through Jesus, has given us pure facts. And that's what Paul had when he stood before Felix. His accusers had charged him. The single most damning charge was they had accused him of desecrating the temple. What they said is he had brought a non-Jew into the Jewish part of the temple. Now, to you and me, he brought somebody to church? How can that be a problem? But you have to understand Jewish law. If you were a non-Jew and you went into the wrong part of the temple, it was punishable by death. The Romans wouldn't give the religious leaders the authority to condemn anyone to death except on that one thing. The Jewish leaders could say someone had desecrated the temple, and that would get you in serious enough trouble that you might be given the death penalty. So they charged Paul with that. The only issue was it wasn't true. It wasn't true. And Paul said in front of Felix, just check with everybody and you'll find out it never happened. Even the leadership, the Sanhedrin of the Jewish community, they can't come up with any charges here. And yet there he was in front of Felix. Paul came before Felix. He was unafraid. He was peaceful. He was calm. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. You and I are called to defend our faith from time to time. Oh, it probably will not be in the public square, but it might be within our family. It might be with some of our friends. But when that happens to us, I want you to know, do it being unafraid. Do it in peace and calm because God is with you when you know him. That's why we talk about searching for him so much. God has promised us if we search for him, we will find him. So there's Paul. He's in front of Felix. He's defending what is the truth when everybody else is out to get him. And he's going to keep Felix on track. He's not going to allow Felix to run all over the place because he knows that he needs to speak clearly for God. He also knows that he has to be careful in front of Felix. He has to recognize that Felix is a person of authority and that he needs to treat him with respect and kindness. Do you know it's not necessary to be in agreement about all things in order to have a decent relationship with another person? You and I need to refuse to accept that we have to surrender our core beliefs, our real understanding, the truth about God that we have, just to be popular. We have to hang on to the essentials of our faith. But we can still stay in good graces with people, even people who have authority over us. And so one of the things I want you to learn from Paul this morning is that you and I need to pray that the Lord will help us to balance love and truth whenever we have an opportunity to talk about Christ to others. If you want to stay calm in all of that, you need to pray. You need to be thankful, and sometimes you need to praise the Lord. One of the days this week, I woke up in a very, let's use the word rotten mood. And I was pretty polite until Barbie left the house because, you know, it wasn't her fault that I was just feeling so tough. And I was sitting there in a bit of a pity party and I realized this isn't the way I want to be. This isn't the way God would want me to be. And then it hit me. Well, then start praising God. So it was raining. I praised God for the rain. Praise God that it wasn't raining harder. I praise God for the beautiful green grass that comes from the rain. I praise God that the roof gutters are cleaned and they're running clear now. I praise God that I'd had a good breakfast. I praise God for a wonderful wife and family. And you know, after a little bit, I wasn't feeling rotten anymore. If you were ever challenged in sharing about Jesus, praise God for whatever's around you, near you, and it will help you. It will help you. God wants you to have a positive approach to everything. And I want you to know that God's big enough that even if you get in a tight spot, God is big enough to deliver you. Now, Paul didn't come before Felix unprepared. And so that's part of the lesson for today, is that we need to be prepared to share our witness about Christ with others. Do you know the best way to prepare for that? Is you need to practice. We become very good at what we practice and what we teach people, and sometimes in seminars that I'm blessed to be able to teach about prayer and about other things. What we teach them is to go ahead and put your witness together, your testimony about what Christ has done in your life. It only needs to be about 3 or 4 minutes long. But go ahead and think it through and figure it out, and then you practice it in front of a mirror. Because when you can look at yourself and be able to give your witness and practice, then it won't be difficult in front of anybody else. Part of your homework, maybe your only homework this week, I'll let you off with only one thing to do, is if you have never before put together your witness about Christ in your life, do it this week and then practice it in front of the mirror. You'd be surprised the next time somebody asks you about why you go to Faith Community Church, why you believe in Jesus, why you believe in God, and you've already got it practiced, and you can just share with them. We need to be ready for any eventuality when we witness for the Lord, when we tell people about Jesus. Paul had researched Felix. He wanted to know Felix's strategy. He wanted to know what he could use in his defense. He knew that Felix was a political leader. He knew that Felix was cruel and shameless, unrighteous. He was steeped in blood. He was rich by oppression, and he was decadent in conduct. Sounds like a great guy to be standing up for the truth. If you look in history, secular history, they'll describe Felix as someone who was very sinister, who used corruption to rise in power. And Felix was documented as someone who abused people. And so Paul needed to be a little bit careful here. He needed to have some skill, because there was a death penalty, perhaps. Where did he get his skill? Remember who Paul was before he met Jesus and how he was after he had met Jesus? Oh, he got his skill from Jesus. You and I can do the same thing. We can just let him do it in us. Trust the Lord, my friends, to give you the political, social, and appropriate wisdom to know the best ways to approach people with the truth. And if you're going to be prepared, you've got to pay attention to what's going on in the world. So don't give up on the news. Know what's going on so you can speak to that. Paul knew that God had helped him develop into a man who had a good respect in the community. Paul was known as being generous, honest. He was known as being self-disciplined. He was known as someone who worked really hard, and he was known as someone who loved people. Don't sell yourself short and say, well, I could never be a Paul. You're right, because there was only one. But you can develop those same things in your life. Loving others, being honest, being truthful. That's one of the marvelous things about being a Christian. We get to stay real. Paul thanked Felix, spoke to him with the greatest respect, the greatest honor. You see, many people are much more interested in knowing how much you care for them than for how much you actually know. I think we should all spend more time asking the Lord to give us a genuine sense of love for other people, the people that we associate with, so that the truth is always understood. It is always given with a generous portion of love. We're admonished that as far as it is possible, we should speak well of those around us. It was one of the great lessons that I learned in being involved in Boy Scouts. We were doing some young men training. We were training the trainers, and they would have to make their presentations, and then as adults we were supposed to critique them. And there was one of the fellas that in his critique, he only talked about the most positive things that the young men had delivered. Oh, some of them had a slip here or there, but he only talked about the positive things about them. And do you know what happened with every one of those young men that were asked to be leaders? They became what their critique was given to them. They became better because they had all of this positive reinforcement. And God has given us a model for this. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember, you've heard it before. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. And then a few more verses down, it says, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And then in this process of being ready to share your witness, to being able to have the facts with you at all time, you're going to need the help of others. And Paul knew that. He always relied on others. And you and I should never shy away from asking people to help us. Help us in prayer. Help us if we know we're going somewhere and have to be talking about something about Christ, about our life in Christ. Find others to support you and pray for you. Many people, many of them, are very honored that you would ask them to support them in a time when you're a little bit challenged about your faith. And you know, if you just seek them out, God will show them to you. He will provide their names to you. Even Felix recognized the importance of friends, because he even told Paul, in a way, I'm about to lock you up, but I want to make sure that I'm going to tell the guards that if your friends show up, let them in. Let them take care of you. That was very important in those days, because there was no three meals given to you when you were in jail. In those days, you had to rely on your friends. And even Felix realized this was something important. The reason I picked Trust and Obey this morning for one of our songs is that that's exactly what we need to do with the Lord. We need to cooperate with Him by trusting Him and obeying Him, and then finding others, gifted Christians, to be with us and to help us. Paul was going to spend 2 years in jail, in prison, because Felix wanted to keep him around for a couple of reasons. One, he was really interested in what Paul had to say. And he was very familiar with what they called the way, which you and I would call Christians. The other reason, of course, he was trying to squeeze money out of Paul. You see, oftentimes the righteous wind up suffering injustices, but then when that happens to us and we know we're right, then we have to remember what Jesus has told us. He said this, it's recorded in John 20, 21, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you." The reason that you sometimes are in front of friends or acquaintances and that thought comes in your head, I should really say something about Jesus to them. The reason that comes to you is because God is sending you. And don't worry, he'll equip you with the right words. He won't give that thought to you unless it's the right time. Trust and obey. Governor Felix was a very knowledgeable man, and yet he missed what Paul was telling him. Felix was quite familiar, it says in the scriptures, about the way, about Christianity, its history, its teaching. But let me tell you something, knowing is not enough. Knowing about something is not the same as embracing it, as accepting it. It's possible, honestly, to know a lot about the Bible and what it teaches and never do what it commands. It is possible to know about Christ without ever committing yourself to him. Oh, how sad it is when someone is not made that commitment, yet they know they're so close to the truth, and yet they've never let Christ transform their heart, transform their life. You and I need to be very careful about complacency and laziness in our spiritual lives, in our spiritual journeys, because we're going to be responsible for every bit of it as God gives it to us. Luke records these sobering words of warning from Jesus. Much is required from those to whom much is given. Let me finish up this morning with a story from Chuck Swindoll. He tells us that there was a test that was developed and conducted at a university where they would put 10 students in a room. And then the moderator of this session would reveal three lines, straight lines, of various lengths that were drawn on the board at the front of the room. And the instructions were that whenever this leader, this moderator, pointed to the longest line on the board, the students were supposed to raise their hands. There was one in the room that was left out of the other instructions, so there were 9 that heard, "Only raise your hand when the instructor points to the second longest line." So as the moderator, as the instructor was going through his presentation, he would point to the longest line. And of course, the one young man who knew that was what he was supposed, when he was supposed to raise his hand, he did. But the other 9 knew not to. It was the truth that was the longest line. You know what happened to the one who would raise his hand? He'd look around the room and he would see no one else's hand raised. And pretty soon, it was true, but that young man wouldn't raise his hand. They did this with grade school students. They did this with high school students. They did this with college students, and 75% of the time, the hand would drop, even though it was the truth. The researchers who were working on this project concluded that many people would rather be in the group than to be right. Oh, beloved of God, things do not have to be fair in order for us to do God's will, to know God's truth. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you're ever with us when we're confronted with the difference between the truth and what's going on in this world. We thank you and praise you this morning for indwelling in us so that we might be the ones who would be unafraid to raise our hands and keep them up when we know it's the truth. Hallelujah. Amen.